WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what's going on, good people? I really hope you had a great weekend. Beautiful weather, birds chirping, sunny. Oh, great stuff. Beautiful weekend, folks. We have so much to get to on today's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We'll talk a little Masters. As I tell you what, I'm becoming a fan of Bubba Smith. I mean, unbelievable what he accomplishes over the weekend. We'll talk about the Masters. We'll talk about Joe Dumars. We'll talk about the Red Wings as they get ready for playoffs. So much to talk about on today's show. And as always, we're asking you to call in and give your thoughts on any of the weekend action. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And, you know, when we do talk Masters, of course, and Bubba Smith getting his second green jacket, second in 3 years. That's quite an accomplishment. And, you know, we were supposed to talk about this last week, but we're going to, I guess, you know, it's definitely timely now with the Masters just ending during yesterday's finale. And Tiger Woods' impact on the game of golf was certainly felt this over the weekend, because the Nielsen, I don't know if you guys saw, but the ratings as far as the Masters go over the weekend, they took a dramatic drop from last year's and in years past. They just came out, and you know, with no Tiger Woods, and then if you look at Phil Mickelson, who actually missed the cut over the weekend, and there was no, you know, late round drama at all during the entire tourney. The ratings certainly took a dive. The final round on Sunday actually got a 7.8 rating. That's down from the 10.2 rating that the Masters got in 2013. Now, if you remember, the final round a season ago, it was high drama, a lot going on. Remember Adam Scott, Angel Cabrera, they were battling for that green jacket, one of the greatest late-round matches I've ever seen in golf. And, you know, to do it on, you know, arguably golf's biggest stage at the Masters was certainly had many people flocking to the televisions. But this past Sunday, it had plenty of drama on the front nine, but it was the back nine that seemed to drag on as Watson improved his lead over Jordan Spieth, who is one incredible story. I mean, the young man is 20 years old. He had an unbelievable four rounds for him. He's going to be a star, I think. But then Jordan, he made some bogeys, found the water on the par 312, if you remember. I stood at, you know, I watched a good amount of it on Sunday. That's just, I'm a golf nut. But anyway, I mean, but if you look at it, though, again, they were down, the ratings took a significant dive when you don't have your two of your arguably biggest superstars in the world of golf, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, not in the weekend. People aren't going to watch. That's as simple as that. And today we're not only going to dissect the Masters and talk about Bubba's win, but also talk about the impact that a man like Tiger Woods has on the sport of golf when he is not playing. And that's certainly talk of the town, because if you look at it, again, final round is 7.8 rating on Sunday, down from a 10.2 rating from last year's tournament. I mean, that's mind-boggling right there. So we'll talk about that and so much more. Again, you can give your thoughts on it by calling 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So in the meantime, let's get you caught up on all of the weekend action that was in the world of sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this April 14th, 2014. All right, the University of Michigan regularly failed to meet deadlines to investigate claims of sexual assault on campus. Now, this was from a report issued yesterday by the university's Central Student Government Charges, otherwise known as CSG. Now, this is a statement. This is from CSG President Michael Propp. He said, quote, "U of M routinely failed to meet its 60-day deadline to conduct investigations, apparently due to a lack of staffing. While the increase in reporting of sexual misconduct is encouraging, the university should have responded by hiring an additional investigator more quickly." Now, the CSG, which shared the report with the Detroit Free Press prior to releasing it to the public, folks, launched the investigation following the university's dismissal of, you know, football player Brendan Gibbons in December. Of course, that sexual assault case. Now, the group said that head football coach Brady Hoke likely knowingly lied about Gibbons, who was a kicker on the team, when asked why he wasn't with the team for a bowl game in December. man, I can see this can of worms certainly becoming a topic of discussion everywhere. So there you have that. Again, this report being conducted by the university's Central Student Government. And finding that that they did not handle sexual assault claims, especially when it comes to the one of Brendan Gibbons. They did not handle it accurately and the way you're supposed to handle it. So that's interesting to say the least there, folks. And Ohio State quarterback Braxton Miller did not play in the Buckeye spring game on Saturday, but the two-time Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year still found a way to make headlines over the weekend with some Michigan-related smack talk, which I personally loved. Now, Miller took screenshots of the official attendance announcement from both Ohio State and Michigan spring game. The Wolverines drew just over 15,000 folks for its spring game on April 5th, while the Buckeyes announced a crowd of more than 61,000 on Saturday. A distinct difference there. Miller did not add any comment. He let the picture speak for itself. He said, thanks for Buckeye Nation coming out, something of that nature. And he just had attached the screenshot of the University of Michigan announcing that they had about 15,000 people. I thought it was a very clever way to smack talk, if you ask me. We'll talk about that later on in the show as well. And interesting news when it comes to OU, the Oakland University men's basketball team. St. John's sophomore Max Hooper, he tweeted Sunday that he will transfer to OU, saying, quote, thankful for my experience at St. John's. I am extremely excited to announce I'll be continuing my basketball career at Oakland University. Now, Hopper, a 6'6", 205-pound wing who started his career at Harvard, is known as a three-point specialist, but only averages around 3.2 points per game this season and played very little in the final weeks, only re-emerging in the first round of the NIT loss with 18 points. Now, his career started at Harvard again. He sat out at St. John's in the 2012-2013 season and played sparingly this past season. So OU adds him and Joe Dumars. His time as Piston president has come to an end. After last week's reports that Dumars would resign before his contract ended on June 1st, the Pistons wasted little time in announcing they wouldn't be renewing his deal. Now, Dumars led the team to 6 conference finals appearances in his first 8 seasons, but hadn't been to the playoffs since 2009. Now, Tom Gorris and company will now have to look for a new GM, while assistant general manager George David and director of basketball operations Ken Cantinella run the team in the interim. Now, Dumars will remain as a part of the organization, accepting a role as an executive advisor outside the basketball operations domain. So there you have that. The Detroit Tigers, they lost their first series of the season over the weekend, losing 2 of 3 to the San Diego Padres. After splitting the first two matchups, the Tigers were shut down by Padres hurler Tyson Ross, who gave up 6 hits and 1 earned run in 7 strong innings. Reigning AL Cy Young winner Max Scherzer struck out 10, allowed 4 hits for his first loss of the season. The Tigers are back in action tomorrow night for a 3-game series against the Indians at Comerica Park. And the Detroit Red Wings, gotta love the playoffs, gotta love the playoff folks. They squeaked into the playoffs for the 23rd consecutive season, and their reward is a date with the President's Trophy, winning Boston Bruins. This should be one exciting series. I can't wait for this one. Now, the Bruins led the NHL with 117 points this season and won the Eastern Conference by 8 points. While Detroit is an underdog, they've had success against Boston this season, winning 3 out of the 4 matchups, becoming the only team to beat the Bruins 3 times this year. Oh, boy, the table is set again. That playoff matchup begins this Friday. Boston and Detroit, gotta love that. All right, we go to a great team to a terrible team. The Pistons, they played their last home game against the playoff-bound Toronto Raptors and looked to be spoilers, but an 18-point comeback was not enough for Detroit as they lost 116-107. Kyle Lowry, he charged the Raptors forward with 28 points and 7 assists. Greg Monroe dropped in 23 on the Raptors. Who cares about the Pistons, though? All right, for the second time in the last 3 years, Bubba Watson won the Masters golf outing this weekend for his 2-year-old son in hand after knocking down his 18-hole putt. He won by 3 strokes and is now the 17th player in history to win the Masters more than once. Again, we're going to talk about Bubba later on in today's show. This fascinating accomplishment. Twice in the last 3 years he's won it. And also we'll talk a little Tiger Woods and his impact that he had without playing in this year's Masters. And this has to be one of the craziest stories I've ever heard of, one of the most unique stories I've ever heard of in the world of sports. I thought I've heard it all until I heard this one. Now, after DUIs and other off-the-field issues, San Francisco 49ers linebacker Aldon Smith, he was arrested and booked Sunday on a charge of false reports of a bomb threat stemming from an incident that took place at LAX in Los Angeles, LAX Airport in Los Angeles, California. Now, Smith was selected for secondary screening at the airport. He then became belligerent and uncooperative with the process. He then indicated that he was in possession of a bomb. Yeah, I'm not kidding, folks. Before and headed toward the gate area, police swarmed and detained Smith. 49ers linebacker has 110 tackles, 42 sacks in 3 years with the Niners. A very, very good player just making a stupid decision. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headlines. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, you know the number, 517-355-9527. Again, that is 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Also, I have to remind you all, the Current Sports TV, we are back at it again this week, this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. I'll be sitting down with former NFL player and former MSU running back, Tico Duckett. Yes, Tico and I will be sitting down and talking about the just idiotic decisions that NFL players are making left and right. We'll talk about the alarming number of arrests when it comes to the NFL that we've seen over the past recent years. Again, I remember we talked about this last week. Over 700 arrests have been made when it comes to NFL players, stemming from 2000 up till now. And Aldon Smith, of course, with his idiotic decision at LAX, adds to that list. But we'll talk about it. Tico and I will sit down and talk about that in the Rose Bowl season and, of course, so much more. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you can do so simply by going to WKAR.org and signing up for free at WKAR.org. Again, tickets are totally free, but seating is limited, so please sign up online. It's always a great time, fun time, seeing your beautiful faces each and every Wednesday night. All right, folks, well, let's dive right into it. We're going to start things off by talking about a little Red Wings. Red Wings and Boston Bruins. It should be one exciting playoff series. Alex and Matt, how you guys doing? How was the weekend?
Great weekend, Al. Great weekend of sports. How about Bubba?
Yeah, Bubba was the man. I tell you, the weather was so beautiful, though, guys. I wanted to get out and play at least 9 holes. I didn't get a chance to, though, but still, it was a great weekend just to be outdoors, you know. And I think that, I think that hurt the Masters ratings, too, because it was a great weekend just about everywhere across the nation. And when you don't have Tiger Woods playing and the Masters are on, granted, it is the Masters, but if you don't have Tiger Woods playing, you don't have Phil Mickelson playing, it's a beautiful day. You know, wouldn't you rather go out and enjoy the day than rather sit in and watch the Masters who don't even have Tiger Woods playing? But, hey, I think that hurt him, too.
And for the Detroit Tigers, those guys and a lot of the guys on that team that are from not the warmest places, they're probably in heaven right now because I think that when it comes to the Detroit Tigers, they play better in warmer weather. You can see it lately. Nice to see.
Okay, well, let's kick this thing off, guys. Red Wings, Boston Bruins. I love playoff hockey, guys. I must admit, I love when the playoffs come, that's about the only time you can see me in front of my TV watching some hockey. And this matchup between the Red Wings and Boston Bruins, I think, is one of the most intriguing matchups, if not the most intriguing matchups, when you look at the NHL playoffs. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun series. Again, now, Boston, if you look at this, of course, with the Wings squeaking in the playoffs and getting that eighth spot, of course, they got to play the best in the East, that being the Boston Bruins. They are the best team, clearly, in the Eastern Conference. President's Trophy winner. They really, if you look at this team, guys, they really have no weaknesses. Great in net, great defensively. It's a powerhouse. This team is a powerhouse. Now, when you look at, though, like I said, when you look at this playoffs and look at how the Wings finish the season, I think they are the most dangerous out of all of the wild card teams in the playoff, guys, because look at the way they clicked near the end of the year, looking at how they got they start to get guys healthy, looking at the play from the young players on this team, this is not going to be a cakewalk for the Bruins. I do think, if I had to make a prediction, I do think Boston will win. I'm going to say Boston in 6 games, but it's not going to be a cakewalk by no means.
No cakewalk. And guess what? The Wings had the Bruins number at the end of the year. And that's a big thing with momentum. And if you're looking at the Boston Bruins and you're looking at that defense with Chara, look at the last play when Nyquist zoomed past Chara. There's going to be some really hostile revenge with that matchup right there, guys. I really think that Nyquist is that X factor for the Wings.
And you know, as a Red Wings fan, or at least being in Detroit for their, you know, crazy run over the years, if there's one thing that Detroit fans know and that hockey fans all around know, is that the President's Trophy means literally nothing once the playoffs start.
No, it doesn't.
Two out of the past eight winners of the trophy have also won the Cup, but it means nothing. You know, this is a new season. It's a blank slate. And as the number one seed, as the top seed in the playoffs, all of the pressure is on Boston.
Yeah, it is.
All of it. They are expected to win. They're a Cup favorite. They've been to the finals two out of the last 3 years. They're expected to make another trip. So I think if the Wings get an early game, if they steal one of the ones in Boston, they could build up some confidence quickly and maybe get the edge on the Bruins. And like you said, I mean, they've won three out of four games against them this season. They seem to have their number. Even, you know, April 2nd, they're outplayed badly. They still get a 3-2 win. So it's even when things aren't going well, even when the Wings aren't playing perfectly, they're still capable of beating Boston, and they've seen that. They've experienced it. So I think going forward, the 1-8 matchup means nothing. Hockey especially, the playoffs, it's a new season, it's a new day. Right, anything can happen. So I think if you're looking to chalk this one up as an easy Bruins victory through the series, it's not going to happen.
No, no, not at all.
Nothing easy comes in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's going to be I think each and every game is going to be so intriguing. It may come down to the wire on many occasions throughout this entire series. It's going to be fun to watch. And I think, guys, when you look at this Red Wings team, you know, you look at just the history of the Red Wings in general. I mean, this team has always relied on veteran leadership, you know, to pull out wins and to pull out Stanley Cup trophies in the past. Now you have such a young, dynamic team with this year's Wings, of course, that we've seen these past few seasons. It's going to come down to the kids, to be honest with you guys. I mean, guys like Gustav Nyquist, Riley Sheehan, Danny Dixier, Thomas Jerko. I mean, you can go on and on and on. Guys like that are going to have to step up, and they honestly did. I mean, to if you look at that later stretch of the season, to even get in the playoffs, those guys stepped up tremendously, and they're going to need that. Now, granted, the playoffs are a different ball game. There's not a lot of playoff experience when you talk about those young guys, of course. But, again, the playoffs are a different type of feel, a different type of year. You just got to approach it as you're going out there. You're playing this big powerhouse. The pressure, I agree with you, Matt. The pressure is not on the Wings at all. When you talk about the Bruins, everybody, if you talk about the Eastern Conference in hockey, everyone thinks that the Bruins are top dog, head above heels above everybody else in the Eastern Conference. They are the President's Trophy winner. And coming into that, the overall perception is that Boston is just going to cruise to the Stanley Cup Finals here. The Wings can let their hair down and just have a cool demeanor about them because, ideally, there is no pressure on them.
Yeah, and another thing to add is, over the last 3 years, look at the Bruins' first round. 7 games. 3 years in a row, it goes to 7 games. So it shows that the Bruins typically have some trouble in the first round. A lot of the teams they faced to get to where they were troublesome. And guess what? They're the more physical team here compared to the Wings. It's physical versus skill, I think. And I really think that the Wings are going to give them a lot to play for.
They are. And for the Wings, for me, guys, if there's a chink in the armor that I want to really harp on, it's got to be the depth on defense for me when it comes to the Wings. Nicholas Cronwall, of course, he's great. He's great. But if you start to dig deeper, other than him on that team, things start to get a little thin when it comes to defense with the Wings. DeKaiser, he's been solid, but his playoff experience isn't there. Brendan Smith, you don't know what you're going to get from him yet. And Jonathan Erickson's availability right now is in doubt. So when you look at that defense for the Wings and that depth on the defensive end, it's a little thin, guys. That's the only thing I'm really worried about with this series with the Wings.
Yeah, especially when you look at the Bruins and how deep they are. I mean, that's one of the reasons that they're there as the President's Trophy winners is because they are such a deep team. Mm. And when you get to the playoffs, a lot of time stars will cancel each other out. You know, the top lines kind of match each other shot for shot, hit for hit, goal for goal. You need contributions from the guys further down on the depth chart, guys from the third and fourth lines. If you get contributions from them, it's gravy because you always know that Datsyuk is going to give you something. I mean, the availability of Zetterberg is still up in the air too, but you know, if you get a guy like that back in the fold, things can change quickly, but you need guys lower on the depth chart to step up and make plays because it goes a long way.
Right, and you talk about Zetterberg. I mean, he hasn't played since February 8th, I believe. It's been a long time. Now, it's rumored before this series that he will return during this series. So I think if the Wings, if they play solid the first two games of the series, and possibly, I think Zetterberg's the type of guy, if you throw him in there no matter what point in the series, he can still be effective in some way. He doesn't need to come back and develop chemistry with the team all over again. He plays his role very well on the team. So I think we will see him this series. And I think he will be effective throughout this series too.
Yeah, can't wait. What do you think, guys? What's it going to be, Wings or Bruins?
I'm sticking with Boston is going to win in six games, I think.
Detroit in seven.
Like Matt said, until the Wings don't make the playoffs, I can't see them losing and not being able to make it.
Well, they're already in the playoffs now. Right. It's about, can they get past
the top
dog?
And my point is, until the Bruins win or lose a game, the first round playoff game, in less than seven games, I'm not going to believe it. 3 years in a row, it goes to seven games. I'm not going to believe it until they win or lose less than seven games. So I think Bruins in seven again.
You think Boston too?
And last year, Boston only won because Toronto had one of the biggest collapses in NHL history and blew a three-goal lead with like 10 minutes left. So it's not like it was seven games and they just blew them out in the seventh game. I mean, they were nail-biters all the way through. So I think the Red Wings have every opportunity to win this series. It's not an unbeatable team by any stretch. They've done it in the regular season. I would not be surprised if there's a major shakeup at the top of the East after this series.
And it's going to be fun to watch, because I believe this is also the first time that Boston and Red Wings have met up in the playoffs since the 50s, guys. Crazy.
Wow. So what happens when they're in the Western Conference, now they're back in the East, they get to play these teams again. It's awesome.
It's great. It's great to watch. It's going to be fun to watch a very, very fun series. I'm certainly going to be glued to my TV.
And you know what, guys? I don't know if you believe in this kind of theory, but I do think that switching to a new league for the Red Wings, it is a learning experience. No matter you're playing an opponent, you should be ready to play. They are learning and they are scouting the new teams that they're facing way more than they have before because of the new conference alignment, I think. I think that's a big factor. So if they lose a series, I'm not looking at this as a failure by any means. I think it's just amazing that they got there in the first place.
Yeah, I agree. I was just about to say, the fact that the Red Wings, that we're even sitting here talking about a playoff series with the Wings, looking at how this team looked a few months ago, we're sitting there like, oh my gosh, will they even make it? And now that they're in, like I said, with the playoffs and any playoff series, I think, as long as you're in the door and you can, as long as you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. Sky's the limit. It's going to be very intriguing to watch. And to go back about the President's Trophy, I believe no team, it's been a while since somebody has won the President's Trophy in the Eastern Conference first, but to win the President's Trophy and win the Stanley Cup Finals, that hasn't been done since 1993 in the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be interesting to watch. It's going to be fun to watch. I can't wait for it. So, all right, let's hit the first break. When we come back, we'll talk about Joe Dumars. Joe Dumars is now officially out as the Detroit Pistons president, and we'll also talk a little Masters action. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, joined by Matt Luckey and Alex Shark. Well, fellas, Joe D is officially out as the Detroit Pistons president. Again, last week there were reports floating left and right that Dumars would resign before his contract would end on June 1st, but the Pistons have expedited that process, and Joe Dumars is out. Now, he will still remain a part of the organization, accepting a role, again, as executive advisor outside of the basketball operations domain. And you know what, guys? When this decision was made, from the Pistons president, of course, Tom Gorris, when this decision was made, there were constant, articles I was reading about how classy Joe Dumars handled this decision that the Pistons made. It's something when you look at this team. Now, granted, of course, I'm a big Piston fan. You guys know that. And looking at Joe Dumars, I really hope just as fans of the Pistons that Joe Dumars is remembered for the good that he did here with the team. Now, granted, I think, sometimes your run comes to an end. I believe that Joe Dumars could have did more to help this franchise over the years, without a doubt. But Joe Dumars is such an iconic figure when you talk about his playing days and you talk about the run that he had eventually leading to a Detroit Pistons championship. I mean, there's not many GMs out there or you know, presidents out there that can say they won a championship with a squad. And Joe Dumars, I mean, you know, if you look back in that 04 era, I mean, he was praised. He was voted as the executive of the year, actually, for 2 seasons, I believe, in the NBA. I mean, I believe that when you look at his time here in Detroit, I really hope that fans out there look at the good that he did and more so not focusing more on the bad. And the team needs to go into a new direction. I mean, we all knew this move was going to be made. We've been talking about this for weeks upon weeks. The team, you know, they're not clicking on so many different angles. And it's mind-boggling to me because when we had our NBA season preview here, we all thought that the Pistons would make the playoffs and be relatively a 3 or 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. And seeing how bad the East was, which really just piles it on more, the Eastern Conference, so how bad it is, and seeing how the Pistons just would continuously let games slip out of their hands. They were statistically known as the worst fourth-quarter team in the NBA. Joe D's, I mean, you could tell the clock was ticking. It was just a matter of time.
Isn't that funny? We all thought that the Pistons would make the playoffs this year. How many times have you sat in the last decade and said, the Pistons will make the playoffs this year, and then it's a total letdown? It's not the first time this has happened. I mean, coming off that Iverson trade, coming off some of the other draft picks when we first got Monroe, when they started to build some pieces together, everyone said the same thing. The Pistons will squeeze in the playoffs and make a little noise, and that's it. But no, it's a total different story. Not even coming close in some years. Some years coming close and then totally letting down, total collapse at the end. It's just not the time for Joe Dumars or the Pistons right now.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, and you know, Joe Dumars is clearly a classy guy, and you can tell that the organization still has a ton of respect for him because, you know, they're giving him that advisor role, or offering, I guess, the advisor role, and he's accepting it. Mm-hmm. Both sides, I think, understand that it is time for change. I mean, this, you know, the ship has kind of run its course at this point. I mean, you look at the records of the Pistons, and it's shocking how bad they have been for a sustained stretch. They haven't won more than 30 games since 2008-2009.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, and that year they squeaked into the playoffs with a losing record. They were 39-43. So, you know, the NBA, they all say, you know, what have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, lately the wins haven't been coming.
Yeah,
and it's
been a long lately.
Exactly. And, you know, you have to give him a little bit of slack because, you know, after the death of Bill Davidson, the team, the ownership is kind of up in the air, and it's tough to make moves when you don't know who the owner of the team is and if it's going to be okay. You know, he's kind of just in limbo there for a little bit. I think that might have contributed to just this kind of stagnant state that the Pistons are in. But then you saw this past offseason, he goes out and gets Josh Smith. He trades for Brandon Jennings.
Right.
People think we've kind of turned a page, and then it's more of the same, maybe even more disappointing this year. So I think the writing was definitely on the wall. Both parties kind of saw this coming from a mile away.
Right.
It's good that it's been handled so well, but I think everyone is ready to just move to a new chapter of Pistons basketball. We'll move on, and we'll see what comes of this.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's so crazy because if you look at just the overall feeling that you get from Tom Gores this season, I mean, starting with the Mo Cheeks firing, you saw this, that Tom wants change right now. You know, not change in the next 2 years, not change in the next 3 years. Right now. It needs to happen immediately. And if the Pistons aren't producing and racking up wins and performing like he feels as though they should, then somebody's got to go. And it started with Mo Cheeks. And then, you could just see just the feeling that Joe Dumars is kind of in panic. We all talked about Joe Dumars is kind of in panic mode this year, that they needed to make the playoffs or he was going to be gone. And now that they're not, it was going to happen. It was inevitable. Now, the replacement here is going to be very interesting to see what happens with this. I believe, guys, the replacement for the Pistons, I believe they need to have experience, without a doubt, because I've seen a few names out here. I see an article in today's Free Press from Vince Ellis, who's a Detroit Free Press sports writer and covers the Pistons quite extensively. And he has a laundry list of names here, and he lists each name and says why or why not, and gives their experience and whatnot. And, you know, just some of the names that are on the list right now that Vince throws out. Chauncey Billups is on the list. Allen Houston is on the list. Allen Houston, of course, is the Knicks assistant general manager. Steve Kerr is on the list.
Wait, being the Knicks assistant general manager makes
exactly.
You
I don't know. I don't know why Vince.
Job
yeah.
candidate.
Well, this is why he says why for Allen Houston, because he was a Pistons first round pick in 1993, a longtime executive with the Knicks. He's used to all the pitfalls in the season. So he's used to a bad situation. I could go on and on. Donnie Walsh, who's an Indiana Pacers consultant, Troy Reaver of the Thunder. There's a lot of names out there right now that are being thrown around, and for the Pistons right now, looking at this organization, it's funny because I went to Detroit this past weekend, and my stepdad, he actually had tickets to the Pistons game. And he's like, hey, you want to go? I'm like, yeah, why not? It's the last home game. Let's go. We actually woke up. That happened on Saturday. We actually woke up on Sunday like, man, I really don't feel like watching the Pistons. This is coming from a Piston fan. So my stepdad he calls around, right? He's calling his uncles. He's calling his cousins. Nobody wanted to take the tickets and go see the Pistons. I mean, that's saying he called about at least like 15 people, he told me. Nobody wanted to go see the Pistons in their last home game. I mean, that's saying a lot. I mean, let this be Miami. Let this be an Indiana. Let this be a successful team. Oh, I'm pretty sure that we would have definitely went to the game, first of all. We wouldn't even have to deal with that predicament. But that's saying a lot where people don't even want to go to the games.
And most of the time, there's being at the Palace, the food, the games, the activities.
The Palace is a nice venue.
Right. And the fact that people are just looking at the team itself without the whole in-game aesthetic experience.
As they should, though. As they should, I think.
I don't know.
If a team is bad, Alex, I don't want to pay my money and watch a bad team.
I would go to a game because of the atmosphere, the fans, the game atmosphere. I wouldn't just look at the team.
That contributes to it.
I used to go to the Pistons game back when Stackhouse and Grant Hill were playing, and they were awful, Al.
Right, right.
I would go, not because the Pistons were bad, but because going to a game is just a great experience. And
it
for
is.
Me, if you're not going to a game, regardless of how bad the Pistons really are, 15 people, like you said, that's a bad sign, Al. That's a really bad sign.
It is, and I agree. I mean, a lot of people go for the experience because the atmosphere of going to a professional game, whatever sport it is a great experience. But let's be honest here. Fans of the team want to see success, and we don't want to see a bad team. You know what I mean? We don't want to see a bad product, and that's evident by looking at the stands at a Piston game.
Right, and I think even more so than a bad team, just an entertaining team, a team that people want to root for. This is not a team that people want to root for.
No.
I mean, it's lifeless. It almost feels like there's no hope. Mm. I mean, it's crazy to think that it's the same building and the same, franchise that just, 5 years ago had one of the most electrifying home court advantages in basketball. I mean, in the heyday of the Joe Dumars era, I mean, Mason became a national star.
Yeah, he did.
Because he shouted Detroit basketball,
right?
Emphatically, and that was a thing. I mean, that caught on,
right?
That caught the nation's attention, and now, I mean, there's a majority of empty seats in the building. I mean, they can't even get people to come in and watch them.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, obviously, I mean, they're just looking to lose out. I mean, they have to lose out.
They got one more game
against Oklahoma City. Yeah, that's not going to go well.
But
it's just having a fun, entertaining, hopeful team. I mean, Alex, you mentioned going to see when they had young Grant Hill. I mean, at least they had young Grant Hill. At least you could go see Grant Hill play.
Yeah, they had a
here
star.
They do have Andre Drummond.
Mm-hmm.
He's not there where Grant Hill was at this point. He could be. But what's the draw of going to a Pistons game?
There
right
is
now?
None. When I talk about this decision to, when you look at who's going to be the next guy to replace Dumars, it would help if it's a notable name. It definitely would help, I think. Somebody that their face is out there, like a Steve. I think Steve Kerr guys will be in. I've always said that Steve Curry has an incredible mind for the game. I don't know if you guys have seen him analyze a game, but man, he's good.
He's good.
He knows his stuff.
And I don't think he should have gotten run out of town in Phoenix when he was their GM. But I've recently heard that he wants to be a coach now. He wants to go into coaching.
Right.
Because he's like a favorite for like the Knicks job, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that might be an uphill battle getting him in the front office. But at the very least, I think it's just going to be interesting to see how long of a leash Tom Gores gives the new GM. Because whenever you have a new guy stepping in as the head honcho, he's going to want to hire his guy. He's going to be like, this is my guy. I trust him. I hired him. We're going to ride it out. I want to see, because stability is important in any sport, and basketball especially. You need that stability, whether it's the coach or the front office. I mean, that's part of the reason the Pistons have been so bad. They can't keep a coach for longer than 18 months.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the GM is now changing over, so I'd like to see some stability. Whoever they hire, they better hope it's the right guy, and they better be able to stick with him.
You got to stick with
through
him,
a dark period, because it's not going to immediately turn around and be great.
No,
it's
but
not going to happen.
If you talk about something that has to change immediately, though, I think whoever gets hired and fills this role for Jody, I think you have to start to see immediate moves be made. Just some energy.
Bring some life into the franchise.
Bring some life to it. Start changing some guys around here. I mean, there has to be a big move made here somewhere, because right now, with the way this roster sits, I think right now, and you talk about when they brought back, Chauncey Billups is on the bench right now, Rasheed Wallace is on the bench. I mean, that brings a little leadership, but they need a player that plays a lot and is a clear on-the-court leader. They're missing that right now, and it's really hurting this team.
I mean, is it any shock that the Pistons are the worst fourth-quarter team in the league?
Exactly.
And their most veteran presence in the starting lineup is Josh Smith?
Exactly.
I mean—
That's no surprise there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's obvious. We saw it against the Raptors the other day. I mean, they had a nice little lead, and then all of a sudden, fourth quarter hits, boom, they're out the game just like that. I mean, it happens too often, and right now, like you said, so what have you done for me lately, league? And I think the fans are upset about it. Tom Gores is upset about it, and change needs to happen now. And this is certainly a step in that right direction. So. Again, if you want to call and give your thoughts on the Pistons or the Masters or anything we talk about here on the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we'll talk a little Masters as Bubba Smith. What a weekend for him. The tears were certainly flowing as he was honored with the green jacket on Sunday afternoon. We'll talk about Bubba and also on Tiger Woods' impact on the game of golf. We don't know if you know what the ratings were this past weekend, but if you don't, we'll give them to you and give us our thoughts on it. You don't want to miss that. Current Sports returns in just a second. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Guys, before I hit that break, I just said Bubba Smith. I just said that like three times, didn't I? Yeah, my name, my mind is totally, it's Monday. It's Monday, okay? Bubba Watson, folks. Bubba Watson won the Masters this past weekend. Again, it's his second time in the last 3 years. Bubba Watson, an impressive outing for him. And, guys, I got a chance to watch a little bit of it on Sunday. As things were really starting to, hit the grindstone and come down to the wire, Bubba really executed everything very, very well. Hit shots when he needed to, able to hold off 20-year-old Jordan Spieth, who I think is going to be one heck of a player. I mean, to see some of the shots that kid was hitting, it was unbelievable throughout the entire four rounds. It was pretty impressive. Now, it was a great moment to see Bubba. He put on the green jacket and tears immediately start to flow. I'm really becoming he's become one of my favorite guys on the tour just because of how he carries himself. I mean, looking at the press conference after the Masters, and he was sitting in the press conference and he talked about, I believe a reporter asked about, the tears that were flowing right after he put on the green jacket. And of course, if you remember a few years ago, he cried too when he, won it the first time. And he talks about, the reason why I cry is because, I look back at this whole thing and I say, why me? Why Bubba Watson? And, it's an emotional moment for me. I mean, it's the Masters, for goodness sake. And he says, I'm not afraid to show emotion. He said, I'll probably cry later on tonight when I'm thinking about it. So it was just a really cool, genuine guy. It couldn't have happened to a better man and a better player. I mean, he's great.
Yeah. And then having his 2-year-old son to celebrate on the field, that was a great sight, man. That was great. But, guys, Bubba Smith now.
Watson.
I mean, we see we're both doing it. See, we're so ingrained in Michigan State football. Bubba Smith is a legend here, but go ahead.
Bubba Watson, what is his legacy now with golf?
Well, I tell you what. I mean, anytime a man wins 2 green jackets, I mean, that's the most in such a short time span. It hasn't happened since Phil and Tiger. I mean, it's unbelievable. We all know he's a great player, and each and every year it seems as though he gets better and better and better. I mean, I think when his career is done, if he keeps on this pace, he will be looked at as one of the greatest golfers to ever play, I think. Anytime you win 2 green jackets, this is like the Super Bowl of golf we're talking about. He'll go down. His name will go down as one of the greats, I think, without a doubt.
I mean, he started as just a guy who – had the long ball. I mean, one of the longest drivers on the PGA Tour.
Right.
And he's become a complete golfer. And I think, obviously, his legacy right now is 2-time Masters champion. I mean, that's it. I mean, and that's a heck of a legacy to leave. But I don't think he's done by any stretch. I think, the quotes that he gave kind of alluded to the fact that last season, and especially last year at the Masters, he wasn't really ready to be the defending Masters champion. There's a lot of stuff that goes along with winning the Masters, a lot of obligations you have to fulfill. He wasn't quite ready for that. So this year he got to come back kind of refreshed. You know, his son is now 2 years old. He's, you know, adjusted to that kind of change in his lifestyle. And he played great. And I think, you know, I don't think you can take anything away just because Tiger was out or that Phil missed the cut. Right. I think a win is a win, especially in a tournament like this. I think the sky's the limit as well, because he's got a lot of golf left in him.
He does, ton of golf left
in him. Oh, yeah, and I think you know, nowhere to go but up. Clearly a nice foundation, though, in terms of legacy when you have two green jackets in your closet.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable, guys. Now, the flip side of this whole thing is when you look at the ratings for the Masters throughout the weekend, of course, with no Tiger Woods, you look at Phil Mickelson, who didn't even, you know, make the cut. The ratings certainly took a dip compared to a season ago. Now, again, the final round on Sunday got a 7.8 rating, down from the 10.2 rating that the Masters got on Sunday back in 2013. I mean, guys, I mean, we meant to talk about this last week, but it's certainly a timely debate here today due to those ratings, those alarming ratings that you I just read. You know, people, let's be honest here. People, when it comes to Tiger Woods, people want to see Tiger play, whether you're rooting for or against him. Tiger Woods just has a draw about him that is arguably the greatest draw when you talk about the impact of any other superstar in any other sport, and you talk about viewership. Because I tell you what, if you look at Kobe Bryant right now, and compared to the NBA, Kobe Bryant, I mean, he's been out all year, but you still have other superstars that can kind of shoulder the load that people want to enjoy and watch. I mean, you got the Blake Griffins of the world, Steph Curry's of the world, Chris Paul, LeBron James, I mean, Kevin Durant. I mean, I could go on and on and on. If you look at, you know, tennis, I mean, you don't just have Roger Federer out there playing. You got Rafael Nadal. I mean, there's so much – in other sports, there's so many variances of big superstars that draw a certain crowd to the point where they can survive without having that superstar perform or be even out there on the playing field. But without Tiger Woods, if Tiger's not playing in the game of golf, there is certainly a significant aura that is totally absent from that sport. Unlike any other sport I've seen in my entire life.
I don't know. You may lose the typical fan that might just watch to see Tiger, but there are plenty of golf fans out there that will watch the golf, that will watch the Masters or the Buick Open. No matter what the tournament is, they'll watch it no matter what because it's the game of golf. I do think that if you're comparing it to another sport or you're comparing a superstar kind of player, I mean, look at women's basketball. You have Brittany Griner. Without Brittany Griner, people aren't watching it. Look at golf. Without Tiger Woods, there's a significant audience that people are still watching.
No,
golf.
They're not. They're not, Alex.
There
are
though.
If Tiger is not playing at all, like if you look at the average, I was listening to it on the radio show today. I forget what Colin Cowherd. I would listen to these the average, you know, age of the viewer of golf and the average player of you know the average golfer out there. And it's primarily Caucasian males, the age of 65 and up. And when Tiger's not playing, Tiger draws such he draws that audience as well as the younger crowd and a bigger demographic of a crowd. Because let's be honest, they did a study on, you know, the impact of Tiger being African American in the game of golf. I mean, I remember when Tiger Woods started playing golf, my dad picked up golf clubs and had never even fathomed playing golf until Tiger Woods, who was an African-American male. Of course, he's African and he's mixed with, I don't want to get
Thai.
I mean, he's multiracial, and that brings in another crowd that you also have to deal with. But when Tiger's not playing, I mean, the ratings show that when Tiger's not playing, people don't watch.
Now,
period.
How much of this do you also think is the fact that Phil Mickelson missed the cut?
That, too.
Because
that
people love
to
watch
too.
Phil, too.
Yeah, I agree.
And when you have those two kind of superstars, the one thing when you're talking about it compared to, like, the NBA or something, I think that's apples and oranges. I think tennis is the most appropriate comparison because it's an individual sport. Mm. And tennis, it kind of seems like every time there's a superstar who sort of peaks and as he's kind of descending – someone else takes the mantle and becomes a dominant player. You know, you had Roger Federer kind of pass the torch to Nadal, who's kind of passing the torch to Djokovic. I mean, there's always somebody who's coming up as the next big thing. In golf,
There is
They're just kind of waiting. I mean, it's, you know, maybe Spieth is the guy. Maybe going forward he becomes that guy. But the thing about Tiger was, I mean, he came on the scene, was incredibly dominant right away, and he had all these endorsement deals. The visibility of golf was never higher than it was than when he was at his peak. Now they're just kind of waiting around for that next big thing to happen, and it's not happening. Golf is kind of evening out. But I think if you see, let's say Bubba Watson wins the, what's next, the British? Mm-hmm. The British Open. He wins the British Open.
Next.
Then for the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open, do you think viewership goes up because people want to see, can Bubba do
it
again?
Not like if Tiger's, if like I said, Tiger, and this is another thing about Tiger too. If you guys remember, when Tiger came on the scene, he kind of had like this rebellious type swag about him that is never, that was never seen before in golf. I mean, the cursing and the throwing the clubs down, and that had never been seen before. And to be honest with you, people like to see that. You know, it went against the grain of the gentleman's game, if you will. And even the goatee, I remember when Tiger got criticized about his goatee at one point. I mean, no, his overall aura kind of pushed the limits of what golf historically is. And let's be honest, people like to see drama. And Tiger certainly brought that drama each and every time he was there Sunday. And now, even with the incident with the, we all know, with the girlfriend cheating on his wife left and right in the club and in the car.
I was going to bring that
people
up.
People like to see Tiger fail. There's people out there that like to see Tiger fail. But the thing is, they like to see him. That's the key here. Aaron has something. Aaron?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much in agreement with, yourself, Al, and then Matt as well. Just to sort of add on to what you're already saying is sort of the personality of Tiger Woods is, I mean, I don't think there's anyone else on tour that sort of matches his personality and style when he's on the course, when he's off the course. I really don't think anyone has that. You know, I like to watch Bubba play. I mean, he's a lefty. You know, obviously him and Phil are the top two lefties in the world.
Right.
But he doesn't, when you watch him on the course, you know, he makes a great shot. He's just, you know, maybe a slight fist pump. There's right. no energy to him. Now, granted, that's just who he is. That's who he is, and that's totally fine. He even said after in the interview afterwards, he didn't even know what was going on the last two holes. He just kept saying to himself, "Make par, make par, make par, make par."
Right.
So he didn't, you know, sort of exude himself of that energy. And you know, when he was done, obviously, you know, he's in a very emotional guy. He's just a down to earth guy. He's a Christian. He's just a family man, pretty straightforward guy. Mm-hmm. There's really no, maybe Jordan Spieth is that. He's only 20 years old. He would have been the younger, obviously, if he would have won yesterday, he
the
would have been
champion.
The youngest.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods currently is the, I believe, the youngest at 21 years and some odd months or something like that. But, I don't know if Jordan's the guy. We haven't seen enough from him. I mean, he just turned pro, so. As far as the ratings are concerned, I think obviously Phil not being there, he didn't even make the cut, so that hurts it as well. But there's just no one that even, you know, I think Kuchar is a good example. If anyone watches golf and he makes a putt or makes a nice shot, what do they yell? Kuch, you know.
you got the gallery going.
That's something.
Right.
With Jordan Spieth right now, there's nothing yet. Obviously, he's young. Bubba Watson, I don't, you know, there's really nothing besides his pink clutch driver that he uses. Mm-hmm. That's about it. But that's really nothing. You go down the list of yesterday, Miguel Jimenez. He's he's an older guy. People love him, but you know, he's more of an international player, more of a European player. Ricky Fowler, you know, now that he cut his hair and he looks about 10 years younger.
He does.
He just hasn't panned out to be the golfer that people have expected him to be. Plus, he's just, again, personality is really not there. Lee Westwood, again, another guy. And then after that, you got names that, frankly, most people probably don't even, who cares?
Right.
They show up once or twice a year. Adam Scott didn't show up again. I think he's an inconsistent, great player. But he's
too inconsistent.
Too inconsistent.
Right.
I don't, you know, without Tiger, it's as much, you're right. There's people that don't want him to win, but the fact is they still tune in
right.
to watch him lose.
Exactly.
And frankly, that's what the PGA wants and needs.
That's all television stations care about is ratings at the end of the day.
Yeah, even when he does bad, and you can go back last couple of years, even when he does bad, mm-hmm. and he's down at the bottom of the tournament, you bet your butt they're going to make sure that, here's Tiger on the 16th hole shooting his approach shot, and he's, 10 shots
back.
They still
show him.
They still show him. Why? Because the second you're in the kitchen, the TV's on, here's Tiger Woods, bam, you're in the living room watching, checking
right.
out. They've proven that. That's who he is, and that takes years of him just winning, and winning.
Exactly. Yeah, the foundation that Tiger has set over the years, that dominance that he had, when he was young on up before the incident, it was unbelievable. And it was something that we hadn't seen since the likes of the great Jack Nicklaus. You know what I mean? And the way that Tiger carries himself, again, the swearing left and right. And I remember when that incident happened and Tiger came back and said, okay, yeah, maybe I need to tune it down a little bit. But we saw last season, it still happens. You love that stuff. You love the emotion, the fist pumps. I mean, people love to see that. Now, I had a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. He's a golf nut, and he loved watching the Masters this year in particular because you got to see other golfers, and he believes that they show Tiger Woods too much when Tiger's playing. Now, again, like Aaron just said, I totally agree with him. People, again, when it comes to TV stations and TV ratings, all they care about is ratings. If people are tuning in because they want to see Tiger, and granted, people want to see Tiger Woods, they're going to put him on there. Simple as that. Now, my personal opinion about that, I do think they show Tiger a little too much sometimes, especially when he's just out of it and can't even compete or contend. When he's like near the end of the near the bottom of the barrel and leaderboard, sometimes they put him on the screen. I'm like, why are they showing Tiger Woods? Oh, because he's Tiger Woods. Now, I agree that, to me, Thursday and Friday, to me, are the 2 days that are allowed for the superstars. Show the superstars as much as you want because they are the caterers of the game. I have no quarrels with that. Now, when Saturday and Sunday comes, then I think that's an opportunity for the rest of the field to kind of get their shine because they've earned it. If you make it to Saturday and Sunday, especially in a huge tournament like the Masters, show them a little bit more, you know what I mean? But still, I still like to see Tiger Woods. That's just because I'm a huge fan of the guy.
Right, so would you say that maybe networks – exclusively, like basically showing every shot that Tiger hits during an entire, round, mm-hmm. even if he's out of it. Do you think that's bad for the game? Because then you have situations like this where when he's not playing, people don't know who any of the other players are.
Right.
Like maybe
right.
if they weren't so Tiger focused, everything wasn't so Tiger centric, that maybe the fans would get to know these other players a little bit better instead
right.
of just being force fed Tiger Woods. 7 shots back on the 16th.
Yeah,
nobody cares.
Nobody. Unless
right.
you're like a diehard Tiger Woods fan, nobody wants to see Tiger Woods when he's not even in contention. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, of course I want to see him if he's 2 strokes back or something like that, but they do it too often. I've seen that. I'm like, why? You know what I mean? And I think right now, if there's any time period where you have to get your viewers acclimated to other golfers, now granted, you do need... I'm always wondering myself, who's going to be that next guy? Who's going to be that next Tiger? Honestly, I don't think there's ever going to be a next Tiger until years and years down the line. I mean, this kid might be 11 years old somewhere in Connecticut. I don't know where he's at. You know what I mean? I don't think there's a Tiger Woods in the field right now. And it's going to take some time. And Tiger Woods, let's be honest here, he's not a spring chicken anymore. I mean, he's getting old. And the game of golf is going to have to adjust with his absence once that absence does happen. And I think a way to do that is, on Thursday and Friday, don't show the man's don't show every stroke from him. You know what I mean? That's just how I feel about it. But, Aaron?
Yeah, I think actually a good example yesterday, and Matt, to go to your question whether it's bad for the game, I don't know if they can – I don't know if I could say whether it's bad just quite yet. But if it gets to a point where, in 5 years down the road – Tiger's just, become an average golfer. He's here and there every once in a while, and they're still showing him. Yeah, then I'm probably going to say it's bad for the game. But, he's still sort of in contention a lot of times, and, people still want to see him. But yesterday was a good example. Fred Couples was sort of in it for a little bit, but then he kind of faded a little bit. Obviously, Freddie is in his 50s, and, he's loved around the golf world. But everyone kind of knew he wasn't really going to make a push. It's just not in him anymore. He was up there somewhat at the top of the leaderboard, and they would show him quite often. Frankly, for the mere fact that it's Fred Couples, that
right.
was the only reason. They pretty much showed. I'm pretty sure they did. They showed every single shot that Bubba took and Jordan Spieth took. Every single shot. And when they were, you know, walking to their next shot, they were just, all right, well, they're walking, so we're going to go over here and just show you this guy. Okay, we're back to, we're back. You know, that's kind of how it went. Frankly, it was like they were showing five guys the entire day, and then they would show like, oh, here's the amateur, the one amateur at 18th, you know, putting it in, just so you guys know his name, and then we'll go back to it. But that was about it, and I think that's sort of, unfortunately, that's the sort of, I guess, conundrum that the TV department is in as far as ratings. I mean, you know, if they show these guys that are, you know, the top 20 guys on the leaderboard, I mean, most people aren't going to care about the, you know, 15 of the 20 guys. They're only going to – and that's why the entire day they showed Jordan Spieth and Bubba Watson. I would argue, actually, Spieth, I think, has a little bit of Tiger in him. When he makes some nice shots, he gets some energy behind him. He makes a great, you know, a huge fist pump. You know, he talks to himself. When he hits bad shots, he says things Tiger says.
Really?
You know, yeah, he'll go, God, Jordan, not again. You know, Tiger is
– right.
Tiger says it a lot. Other golfers say that too, but Jordan sort of has that personality and sound to his voice that, you know, it works for TV. Some people just don't sound good on TV, so they don't mic him up. But Jordan has a very, you know, clear voice, and, you know, he's that's just who he is.
Do you think he could be the next Tiger, man? Looking at it, because you probably watched it more than me.
Yeah.
You got to see him.
Well, from last year, pressure doesn't get to him. It got to him a little bit yesterday, frankly, only because he had two shots or two holes, 8 and 9, that, you know, he had back-to-back bogeys. And after that, at the Masters, you have to be so precise with your shots and your yardage.
Right.
He, frankly, unless Bubba made a big mistake, that wasn't going to happen. But from last year and so from what I've seen so far of him this year, he has a demeanor. He has a calmness to him. He doesn't let pressure get to him when they interview him afterwards. They interviewed him afterwards on Saturday. I mean, I thought they were interviewing a 35-year-old. I mean, he was so
calm.
Yeah,
he's very.
They interviewed Jonas Blix afterwards. He could barely speak because he was so nervous.
Mm.
You know, and he's 29. but right. Spieth, 20s. Yeah, I got it. No, you know, no worries. So.
Yeah, he did, and he seems like a really good kid. I watched a few interviews from him, and he called Bubba Mr. Watson. I mean, he's just a classy kid, man. And, you know, he seems that, you know, possibly, you know, I think he's going to be a great player. But, again, I still don't think we've seen that kid coming up in the ranks that's going to be the next Tiger. I don't know. It's going to be tough, guys. All right. Well, we're about ready to wrap up here. Again, I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes again this Wednesday, 6 p.m. I'll be sitting down with former NFL player and also a former MSU great running back, Tico Duckett. Tico and I will be sitting down talking about the arrest in the NFL, the alarming numbers that we've been seeing the past few years. We'll talk about that and so much more. Again, if you want to be a part of that live audience, you can do so by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. Certainly look forward to that. Tomorrow, we'll talk a little bit about Braxton Miller taking a jab at Michigan, folks. Yes, if you didn't see Braxton Miller, it was a very clever way to do it, too, through the use of Twitter. So we'll talk about that and so much more. Please tune in tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Again, you can also go to our Facebook page and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports and tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic start to your week, and be easy, people.